The following talk was recorded on the 12th of February 2023, titled I Know There's a Light, But Where's the Switch? With Julian Harvey.
It is a lovely message, and you know, it's interesting in doing the preparation yesterday for this. There are lots of songs I could have used talking about light, and it was sort of a case of looking at ones that weren't about human, predominantly male to female love. You are the light of my life, you know, various other bits and pieces. So it was a little bit of a challenge to find music that related to what we talk about in Unity, which is that light, the concept of light that we talk about at Unity. And it's interesting in putting talks together, in putting stuff together for people, and Rhonda will back me up on this, and I know other ministers that other spiritual leaders that this happens to, sometimes you get the title first and you have no idea why you've got the title at all. So last time we were at the Bajai, Rhonda and I were packing up together, and somebody said something, and I said, oh, yeah, well, I know where the light is, but I don't know where the switch is. And I went, oh, that's a really good talk title. What a great idea. Aren't I clever? Then I had to think about it. and that's a challenge, that whole thing, whole conceptualizing. But then, you know, as is my process, and it's different for everybody, but as my process goes, what I'll do is I'll get an idea of a talk, and then I'll let it sit with me for a little while. I won't do any writing, I won't do any reading, I won't do any, oh, I've got to find subject matter for this, because that's what I do at work. At work, we come up with an idea of what we want to talk about or what we want to teach or what we want to present to a group of people, and then we research the wahoo out of it. So we will go down and we'll find articles, we'll find documents, we'll find this. But when it comes down to the talks at Unity, I like to go, okay, that's a great talk title. So what's it about? What am I supposed to be talking about? And what was really interesting was that if you were here for my last talk, you would have known that I talked a little bit about, do you want change with that? And what I was talking about there was looking at the creative process of change, which involved, yet again, the Genesis story, and how the Genesis story can be a way or a way of looking at the process of change. And so when I was sort of, that sort of thought jumped into my head and I said, well, I've already talked about that. They're going to get bored listening to me. But what jumped into my head at the time was an older Unity book by Elizabeth Sand Turner. And I always say Sands Turner, but it's not. It's actually Sand, S-A-N-D, Turner. And she wrote a series of books, and one of the books that she wrote was Let There Be Light, which is her interpretation and her understanding of the Old Testament based on the writings from the Fillmores and various other people. And so when I sort of looked at that, the thing that went through my head was that, okay, well, maybe that's what I need to be looking at. I need to be looking at what the concept of light is, what that's about, and how that works in our lives. So then I get on with my week and do what I need to do as far as my job is concerned. And what was really interesting was that we hit barrier after barrier after barrier. We're trying to, in my current job, we've developed a two-day forum for national delivery team leaders for the company that I work for. So all the national delivery guys. And we've developed a two-day forum for them, and we're trying to get the very first forum up and running. We did a pilot a few months ago in Adelaide, and from that pilot we got a lot of feedback, and from that feedback we've actually changed the entire forum. And now we want to run it again to see whether or not we've hit the mark of what the actual team leaders want to hear and what they want to learn about. But we just kept hitting barrier after barrier after barrier. So the initial response from the senior management was, we want you to deliver it in Geelong. Geelong is our head office. That's where our main office of that department that I work for is at. We want you to run it at Geelong because they wanted the senior managers to be able to sort of pop their head in the door and see what was happening and be encouraging and stuff. So we went, right, well, we need to run it on these 2 days. These are the days that have been set. These are the days we need to run it. And Australia's largest aircraft demonstration display thing is on for that entire week in Geelong. They're flying out of, they use Avalon Air Base down near Geelong. And we can get the rooms, no problem getting the rooms that we want to use at work. There is no accommodation anywhere. Every hotel is booked solid from the Monday through to the Sunday afterwards, full of flyboys and aircraft mechanics and all sorts of people. So Geelong was out. Went, okay, well, we'll go to Melbourne. We'll do something in Melbourne. So in Melbourne, we could get accommodation, couldn't get your rooms in any of the offices. So I was going, oh, God. And this went on and on and on. And we literally went, okay, well, if we can't do it in Melbourne, let's do it in Sydney. Sydney, no, we can't do it in Sydney for the same reason. We can get accommodation, can't get rooms, or we can get rooms, we can't get accommodation. Oh, okay, well, why don't we go back to Adelaide? All right, we'll go back to Adelaide. So we went, had a look at Adelaide. Adelaide's ready to go. We could do Adelaide. However, senior management have said, well, you've done it in Adelaide. We want you to do it somewhere else. Okay, so they put another block up. See how my week's been? And in all of that, what was really interesting was that there was a part of me, and I've got to be really honest about this, there was a part of me that thought in the first weekend, March, so we're running it on the 1st and 2nd of March, I didn't really want to travel. I didn't want to go anywhere. For a variety of reasons, I just thought, God, hopping on a plane and flying to Perth or flying to Adelaide or flying to Melbourne or wherever, it wasn't really where I was at. So guess where we ended up? Gold Coast, Robina. So at least I get to go and have a time at the Quest Hotel in Robina, but we've got Robina, so we're delivering it in Robina. How does that relate to what I'm talking about today? I always knew that there was going to be a solution. Always knew there was going to be a solution. I wasn't sure what the solution was going to be, but I always knew there was going to be a solution. And the way I knew that there was going to be a solution was as from my Unity teachings and my Unity training and the way I think from a Unity perspective of there is always a solution, there is always an answer, there is always an out, because divine guidance, divine understanding, divine ideas, divine concepts is always present, always available. Now, what's really interesting is that when we were looking at going to other states, we had about 10 people enrolled and we want about 25. The minute we said Robina, we filled the room. So that means we're going to actually achieve a goal of sitting with more team leaders than we were originally going to sit with. So I think it's going to be a better environment because we'll have more input. It will be a more invigorating thing. So that to me, having all those blockages was the right path. So when in Elizabeth's book, she starts with, it's actually in the foreword. And in the foreword, she quotes Genesis 1, verses 1 through to 3. It's from the older version. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So it's a version of the first part. And for me, and this is, I'm not sure whether I heard this elsewhere, I could probably be corrected on this, but to me, Eric Butterworth puts it in one respect. Eric Butterworth says in A Quest for Truth, Unity today is dedicated to the open mind. Unity seeks only to teach you how to think, how to pray, so that you can formulate your own definition of spirit and experience your own communion with spirit within. Now, we don't tell you how to think. What we say to you, you have, you know, we do talk about the fact that you have the option to be able to change your thoughts and work through your processes that way. So we don't say you have to think this way. It's not quite right from my perspective. The concept of let there be light for me is all about illumination. It's about opening the mind to receive from divine mind. It's about opening our consciousness and moving our consciousness from earthbound, you know, earthbound is a strange word, but human minimalist concepts to a bigger, broader, wider brush to paint our lives with. It's about developing and opening ourselves up to that spiritual intelligence that's within us when we're born. Like it comes with us. It's everywhere present. It goes on in Genesis to say that one of the versions I've read of Genesis says, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water, which Sam Turner talks about is the ability or represents unexpressed possibilities in mind. So allowing us or allowing oneself, so I didn't really talk about me, but allowing oneself to let in that light is that process of understanding that we have that spiritual self available to us at all times. So if it's about awareness, there's a philosopher, not a philosopher, it was actually a Dutch Catholic priest. He was also a professor and an author and a theologian. He's Henry Nguyen, 1932, and he died in 1996. Living a spiritual life requires a change of heart, a conversion. He talks about a conversion. I'll come back to that. Such a conversion may be marked by a sudden inner change, or it can take place through a long, quiet process of transformation, but it always involves an inner experience of oneness. So there have been times in my life where I've had that sudden automatic change. The big one for me, of course, was when I realised that I had a problem with alcohol and that I needed to change. Now, some people know my story, some people don't know my story, but I went through a 30-day treatment program in just outside of Montreal in Canada in 1993. And in that process, they put us through a whole bunch of stuff and put us through a whole bunch of processes and stuff. But one event happened within that framework that really hit the mark for me, and it was the switch that changed my attitude to what was going on in the treatment program and in my life. The event, believe it or not, was 25 minutes in the middle of an hour and a half long movie called Shattered Spirits. So Shattered Spirits is a story, it's a movie. It stars a very young Martin Sheen playing the alcoholic father. I can't even remember who the actress and the kids were, but the actress was the enabling mother, and the kids were all very scared of dad because of dad's rage through his alcoholism and his alcohol usage. And the section that really got me was he came home incredibly drunk. He had asked his son, who was barely nine, 10 maybe, nine, he'd asked his son to mow the lawn. And the son hadn't mowed the lawn. And this man came home at 2 in the morning, really angry, woke everybody up, got the lawnmower out and started mowing the lawn and yelling and abusing his family. And I know this is hard for some people to believe, but what hit me right between the eyes at that moment in that movie was, if I keep drinking, that's who I'm going to be. And I did not want that for anybody. I didn't want it for me, and I didn't want it for anybody else at any time. And literally for me, which is rare for some in some instances, but I think it's possible for everybody, the switch was turned. Now, I joyfully have not gone down that path. And for me, that then removed the one barrier to me allowing the light of illumination and understanding to come into my life. What's really funny about that treatment program is that when I got there and I found out that they had a kind of an affiliation with Unity, because Jack Boland was the spiritual guide and the spiritual leader, they used to contact Jack all the time before he passed away. And Jill and Lillian were very, very old friends of Jack Boland's. And he was involved with helping set that up. My immediate reaction when I first got there was, oh God, it's mum again. Because as many of you know, my mother was a minister at the time. And for a long time, part of my alcoholism was a certain disaffection for mum and the path that she'd chosen. Now, she knows this, guys, and she's online at the moment and she knows all of this. We've had a phenomenal amount of time together to discuss all through this and a real healing of our family in that regard. But at the time when I went in there, I was really kind of anti-mum. That switch was so immediate that all the stuff that I'd heard over the years from mum, we were involved in Unity when I was a kid, when I was 11, I remembered all that sort of stuff. All this stuff suddenly flooded back into me. And I suddenly went, oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, I know about the 12 powers. I understand about the 12. All of this stuff came flooding back into me because I had removed the block to the light entering my life. And it was a transformative process for me that was just amazing. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I'm now a guru because I'm not, but I do understand about the process and what needs to happen to allow the light to move in. Let me give you another example where it wasn't so quick. I have been struggling for many, many, many years about whether or not I want to be a minister. There's a whole bunch of issues and concerns that I have about that. And one of the things that I realised or understood from that is that the times when I get, I'm not going to do that, I'm not worthy, I'm not this, blah, blah, blah. All of that is my negative human consciousness trying to interrupt or trying to get in the way. What's really interesting is that a couple of weeks ago I was watching a video on something, and what I didn't realise, I kind of did realise this, but I wasn't 100% sure about it. But they have done studies recently in the last 10 years, and they've worked out that our thinking to automatically go to the negative first is as old as our fight, flight, or freeze response. It's based on when we were back in those days where survival of the person, the survival of the tribe, the survival of the community was, okay, this is what we want to do, but what could possibly go wrong? Is very ingrained in that fight, flight, freeze response. So it's normal when someone says to me, oh, you should become a minister, that I go into that negative of, why would I want to do that? You know, I don't know anything. These guys sitting in front of me know more than I do. They're all experts, you know. I'm just a beginner. That's an automatic response. Once I know it's an automatic response to go into the negative, then if I was in my old pattern of behaviour, I'd beat myself up for it. Oh, you should know better. You blah, 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 and do all that old beating. You know, the beating up stuff we do in a sense. I would automatically do that. But now, if I invite the light in, divine idea, divine expression, then I invite in the opportunity to say, oh, I don't have to listen to those thoughts. I can change those thoughts. I can go into the silence and I can look for the answer from within as to whether or not this is the path I should be taking. Because if I listen to those negative ones, you won't see me here next Sunday. You know, because that's what will happen. Now, one of the things that I find really interesting about people who are going through growth and going through change is that sometimes those thoughts get too much and we don't see them again. Or they disappear and we don't hear or see from them again, which is, you know, and we send them out there with love and all that sort of stuff and we understand that. Because there are two types of, or two kinds of knowing, and this was from an article that was on Unity website recently. There are two kinds of knowing. One is a conceptual knowing. The other is the sense, feeling, intuitive knowing that is embodied. So we might know something. We might know that prayer and meditation on a daily basis will do us good and it will help us move through things. But it's a conceptual thing till we actually move it into the sensing, feeling, intuitive knowing, which means we have to practice what we're doing. We have to get into the process and we have to practice what we're doing. The article goes on to say, oneness is not only experienced in a variety of ways with different people, but it is also experienced differently in each of our four centres of spiritual knowing. The more centres we awaken to oneness, the more we enter into it. So what do I mean by the four senses of knowing? First one is to sense oneness in several forms with our head centre. So to sense something is to know it, to understand it from a head space and to work through it from that perspective. The other way is to feel oneness in humankind, in love flowing from our heart centre. So again, it's the process of moving the knowing from the head to the heart. And sometimes you've got to do that in a practical sense by sitting there and spending time in the silence, deliberately affirming, moving it from the head space to the heart space, moving it consciously into that space to get the feeling of it. And the way I understand that, or the way I think about that from my perspective, is that getting an understanding that that I like teaching Unity stuff and being involved in Unity, but then getting into the feeling state of this is where I belong, this is the sense of where I belong, and this is the quote unquote purpose. We have to get into the intuitive state of mind, intuitive state of understanding oneness. So our oneness with God in our spiritual body center. So learning how to use intuition. Now, intuition can come to people in a wide variety of ways. I don't personally get intuition through dreams or those sorts of things. But I will do something or I will think something and I will intuitively know that's what I'm supposed to do. That's the path. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know what it's about. I know I've got a really good friend of mine who her intuition comes to her through a body. So if she's dealing with something and she feels something in her body, whether it's her heart or her lungs or her back or whatever, it's similar to, how can I blank on the lady's name, but you can heal yourself, woman. You know, Louise Hay, thank you. Sort of the Louise Hay stuff, looking at where in the body, and she kind of goes, oh, this is where I'm feeling it in my body. So that's an area where I need to look at what's going on, whatever that may be. And she uses her intuition that way. And then to embrace embodied nature and cosmic material reality in our grounded feet center. So being grounded in the oneness, not grounded on the earth, but grounded in that oneness that we are one and we are universally one and we are one with everything. We are oneness with the oneness, if that makes sense. So being able to connect at that level is the important part. Years ago, I was given, I'm pretty sure you gave it to the young lady, but I had an affirmation, because one of the things is when you're feeling that sense of doubt, when you're feeling that sense of separation, you know, one of the great tools we have at Unity is denials and affirmations. And being able to make those denials and affirmations work for you in any given moment, and having a band-aid, really quick band-aid that you can apply when you suddenly feel some of that stuff arising within you. And for me, I've always used the standard denial that I've used is that I deny any power to the sense of separation, because I don't want to feel separate. I want to feel connected to the oneness. I want to feel connected to the universe. So denying the power of that sense of separation. But then a common affirmation I use is infinite wisdom guides me, divine love prospers me, and I am successful in everything I undertake. Infinite wisdom guides me. There is no end to that infinite wisdom. It's everywhere present and available to you anytime you want to use it. Divine love is everywhere present. And it prospers you. We're not just talking about money. We're talking about prospers you with love, companionship, friendship, health, happiness. It prospers you with desire. What do you want out of life? You can have anything, but what do you want? It prospers you in every possible avenue of your life. And I am successful in everything I undertake. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. And God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land, and bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. Then God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. God said, let the land produce living things, living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made and was good. And there was the evening and there was the morning, the sixth day. Now, all of that comes down to is that we have control, we have a way of connecting with that allness of oneness that is everywhere present. We can control our thoughts, we control our minds, we can control our feelings, we can control all of those things through the processes of understanding that there it is already available to us. Interesting, one of the things I was reading, and I'll finish on this, but one of the things I was reading, which was really interesting, was talking about the fact, and the word that jumped into my head when I was reading it was sin, because it was an older book and it was talking about the sins of man and the fall of man and those sorts of things. And of course, as we know in Unity, sin is an archery term that means missing the mark. And the Genesis story, the first Genesis story, Charles Fillmore talks about being the spiritual awakening of the awakening of spiritual man, or the creation of spiritual man. And then he says the second Genesis story in Genesis 2 is about it awakening in mankind, in humankind, in the world. So we have all of that available to us. We just have to learn how to hook into it and how to access it. And as I say, denials and affirmations are one way to do it. But the reality of it is that it takes dedicated practice of going into the silence and spending time in that void, spending time in that process of oneness. And getting that heart, moving it from the head space to the heart space, really practicing getting into the heart space.